All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for being here this morning. I want to assure you, I know we're getting up a little bit later than we normally do, and so I get that, and I will not be long this morning. I do believe, I heard someone say, you know, to be effective, you don't have to be eternal, and I believe that, okay? And so you listen fast, I'll speak fast, and we should be done by two, okay? So the good thing is I'm hungry too, so I'm in a hurry. But and so I want us to look at these verses this morning. The thing I love about Christianity is that really it makes you different. That's what should happen. A person who is a Christian should be different than they were before they were a Christian. You see that all throughout the testimony of Scripture. When people met God, they changed. They were different than they were the time before. Remember the woman at the well? She came and saw Jesus, and Jesus was talking to her and said, I'll tell you what, before we finish the conversation, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, I know you had five, and you're living with somebody right now. And after she met Jesus, within a short time, she's back at her village, sharing him with everybody she could tell them about him. Remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Kind of hard for them to meet Jesus, right? But tax collector, and he met Jesus, and after he met Jesus, said, anything I've taken that was wrong, I'll restore it. I believe he said fourfold. That made a difference. Joseph, who came and who went and saw Jesus and was really kind of timid about it, but after Jesus died, and volunteered his tomb for Jesus. There were 3,000 that met Jesus on the day of Pentecost, and all of them immediately were baptized and joined the believers that were there, and they went through Jerusalem just turning the city upside down for Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul, the great persecutor of Christians, who went and put Christians into jail just for their faith and had them put to death, and then he met Jesus Christ and his life was absolutely changed. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. Remember years ago, in the early days of Apple, when it was not quite as popular, one of their advertising campaigns for their computers, they went through and they showed all the great, what they thought were difference makers throughout history. And their whole thing was like, if you use an Apple, you will be different. Okay? We should want to be different. Amen. Knowing Jesus Christ and being a Christian should make us different. In the text which Joseph read a while ago, Ezekiel, the people were in captivity in Babylon because of their disobedience to God. That was something that was going to be temporary. God had already told them before they went into captivity that they would be there for 70 years, and then God would bring them back home. And so Ezekiel is looking towards that time when they will go home. They will be back in their land if they want to be, and things will be better. He tells them about those two things that are coming up, one that would be in the near future and one that would be in the far future. The new future would be going home back to their land. The far future would be that time when Israel really as a nation comes back to God and the future kingdom there. But he's emphasizing in this particular section of verses the fact that when they do go back and when God does work with them in the future, that God is going to make them different than what they currently were. Their life and everything about them would be different. They had been guilty of two great sins which caused their captivity. They profaned the land that God had given them. God had given them that land away apart from the pagan worshipers, and they had polluted the land. And God cleared the land and they took it. Now they were doing a lot of the same things that their predecessors had done. And then they profaned God's name to the people around them. In other words, to the other nations around them that did not know the true God, they represented the true God. And they were a representation of him, but not in a good way, but in a bad way. But their captivity is over and they're going back. And God is going to change them, or wants to change them, from the way that they were before to make them completely different. If that's the message of the Bible, If that's the message of this group of individuals, that is the message of Christianity, and it is also the message of the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, I want you to listen to this list. It says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators," all kinds of sexual immorality, "nor idolaters, nor adulteresses, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That's a pretty bad list. But look what he says in the next verse. And such, verse 11, I know I didn't have you turn there, but it says, "And such were some of you." Now think about that. You look at all those bad things that are mentioned, and he says, you know what? Some of you were doing these things. Now that's the past. They're different. He says, "But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." They were different. I wonder if God would look at us and look at some of the things that we used to be involved with, and he would say, "You know what? Such were some of you." Yep. Now, one of the things about being the pastor, Brother Machado, I know you guys. Some of you probably knew the police officers, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Chim's up here. I want you to remember me. Some of you are like, "I don't want them to remember me." Okay. But you know what? When we met Jesus Christ, we were different.
Yeah.
We should be completely and utterly changed. I was going to have you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, but we will not look at that. But we've mentioned it often where he says that once we meet Jesus Christ, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Workmanship simply means a brand new product. We're completely different. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Again, I won't read those, but he tells us that once we met Jesus Christ, once we know Jesus Christ, we're supposed to put off all those things in our life which were not good, and we're supposed to put on all the things now in righteousness that are supposed to be good. I almost, when you say put off and take, it's almost like changing out of a pair of dirty clothes into a pair of nice, clean, fresh clothes. God wants that in our life. He wants us to be different. But how does that happen? God does that in us. And in these verses, and I will be brief this morning, he mentions several things that God does that helps us to be different. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, God makes us different because God consecrates us. If you have your Bibles open to Ezekiel chapter 36, look at verse 21. He says, "But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their name." What do I mean by that? God changes us not for our sake primarily, although he does do it for us. God does it for his name's sake. God says, "You've profaned my name, and I'm going to change you. I'm going to bring you home, and I've got these future plans for you, and I'm doing it for my holy name's sake." And then at the end he goes, "And I will be sanctified." What? "I will be seen differently by them in you." You know why God cleans us up sometimes? Not so that we're some trophy sitting on a shelf. By the way, if you want a trophy and you didn't earn one, and by the way, if you didn't earn one, you shouldn't get one, okay? No participate. Yeah, I don't even like second place trophies. Our guys, and they did great. They had a great year. They did not win their football tournament this year. We won, what, 5 out of the last 7? This just wasn't our year. I'm pretty sure they got a trophy for third place. I don't want it, okay? I only take first place trophy. I'm glad. By the way, they got Christian Character, MVP. I think they got Coach of the Year, and I think they got to clean up after the game. But We don't want third place trophies. But we're not. By the way, if you want a trophy, go to the used store. There's all kinds of them there. People don't want them. Listen, we're not a trophy to set on a shelf to say, look at me, I'm wonderful. We are a testimony to what God can do in somebody's life.
Come on. Amen.
Man, I don't want to, I want to be represented. I'm not perfect, and neither are you, by the way, so don't give me those looks. But at least I want someone to see something that says, you know what, there's something about those Christians. There's something different about them. Maybe, just maybe, it is the God that they worship. See, our society is really, they're going anti-God. They're going anti-everything, but they're going anti-God. You know what? I want my life, and I want your life, and I want the life of the member of these churches to say to this world, God is great. There's an atheist. His name is Christopher Hutchins. He's one of these angry atheists. He wrote a book called God Is Not Great. That subtitle was Why Religion Poisons Everything. His premise of the book wasn't just that there is no God, but that belief in God is bad. That was his thing. He was interviewed by a conservative host named Dennis Prager. And he asked Hutchins this question. If you were alone in an unfamiliar city at night and a group of strangers began to approach you, would you feel safer or less safe knowing that these strangers had just come from a prayer meeting? Hutchins answered, I would feel immediately threatened if I thought that that group of men approaching me in the dusk were coming from a religious observance. Something had happened in his life. He had seen some Christians that maybe are people in the name of God, and that's part of the premise of his book, that did some horrible things. And so what he did is he indicted God. He's wrong. By the way, God doesn't need to be judged by your and I, by mine and yours lives. But let me just say something. People do that. And I want to do the best I can when people see me to see us to say, you know what? There must be something good to belief in God. So God changes us for his sake. Yep. Secondly, God cleanses us. Look at verse 25. Then will I sprinkle water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. Now, if you know the law back in the law books of the Bible, there was a lot of laws there that had to do with cleansing and ceremonial cleansing and certain things. If they touched a body or they came upon some defilement, they would have to go outside the camp for a certain set of days. And then they would have to be washed and sprinkled in water to cleanse themselves. And then when they were clean, they could come back into the camp. And that's kind of what the picture that he's giving here. And God says, you know how when you were defiled by touching a dead body and there was other things they could touch that would make them defiled, and you were supposed to sit without the camp and you were supposed to be cleaned and wait 7 days? I'm going to clean you so that you can immediately be back in the camp. What is God saying? I'm going to take your defilement, anything that's been going on in your life, and I'm going to wipe that away. He says that they were cleansed from their works, the filthiness, the bad things they did in the past. God says, you're forgiven and you're just clean from all of that. And then their false worship, the idols. Here's the point I'm making. What happens to us so often is we come to know Jesus Christ and we've had some things in the past that maybe weren't so good. And what happens is, whether it's by guilt or whatever, we use what happened in our past to hold us down and keep us from being different in the future. You know what God said? That's cleansed away. I don't believe in this thing. And we have an addictions program on Friday night. We don't teach them, once you are an alcoholic, you are always an alcoholic. No, you're not. Not if you know Jesus Christ. You are cleansed. You get over that. And that's who you were in the past. Such were some of you. Your past is over with. Don't let your past chain you in the present. And I've mentioned it, the elephants. How do they train the elephants not to take off? When they're babies, they'll get them on a chain and pound a little holder in the ground, and the elephants aren't strong enough to pull themselves out. And they just get used to the fact that I'm stuck. And then when you got this huge elephant and you put that same chain on them, a chain they could easily pull away, they think they can't get away from it. No, don't let that happen in your life. You say, but you don't understand. I came from a dysfunctional family. Let me say this. Get in line. My children are in a dysfunctional family, okay? You know, pastor used to always say, I can't serve God. My parents used to feed me with a slingshot. No, don't let your past, I was involved in this, and I did some things in my past that I'm ashamed of. Hey, are you saved? If you know Jesus Christ, that's been wiped away. Don't let that dominate your life. You don't have to. Thirdly, God contributes to us. Verse number 26, he says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. God says, I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to give you a new heart. Why? Because the old one's messed up. The old one had all kinds of feelings going on there. And I'm going to give you a new spirit. You're going to have a new attitude. And I know there's also the Holy Spirit. But he says, you're going to be different. You're not going to act the way you were. You're not going to think the way you were. You're not going to feel the way you were. Because all those things have a tendency to push us to live and act a certain way. God gives to us. We're not just on your own. Hey, you're saved now. Be different. Get out there and do it. God says, I'm going to help you. You got a new heart now. You're literally a brand new person. And our heart and our spirit are those inward things. God changes us from the inside out. He starts to work. We're not just putting on a show. Now, I know some people do put on a show. But we're not just putting on a show. God works inwardly. That's why the Bible is so important. The truth of the scripture is so important. It gets down in there and it works and it makes us different because God gives that to us. But God not only contributes to us. In verse 26, we see that God confiscates from us. Read the rest of the verse. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. God says, I'm not just taking that away. I'm going to give you a new one. God's not, some people are like, oh, this Christianity thing. God's just trying to keep stuff and take stuff away from you. No, no, no. God's only taking the things away from you that hurt you so he can replace them and give you the things that will help you. God gives to us. God gives us everything we need. We may have had a heart and by the way, we do have to guard our hearts. But God works in our hearts and in our emotions and now pushes us in the right direction. God doesn't just leave us out there on our own. Think of it this way. If you get a heart transplant, and I don't particularly want one, to be honest with you, okay? But if I got a heart transplant, some of you'd say, man, you'd be a lot better off. Maybe. But you know what they do? They don't open you up and say, let me just leave that old heart that's not working. I'll just put a new one there on top of it. They transplant it. That heart is no good. That's got to go. Let me give you this heart. This one will work. Yeah. And that's what God said. I'll get rid of that old stuff. Not only will I cleanse it from you, I'm just going to take it away from you. And I'm going to give you something brand new. So he confiscates from us. Then that'll all lead to God changing us. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. See, the reason Israel was in that situation they were in Babylon, is because they didn't walk in God's statutes. They did. God had told them, when I give you the promised land, it's all good. But you got to do this. If you just follow my laws and do these things I ask you to do, none of your enemies will be able to defeat you. None. You will be blessed. Crops, all that stuff's going to work out for you. It says, but if you don't, there's going to be some issues. You know what they did? They didn't. They didn't follow him. And so things didn't go well. But God says, I'm going to change you now. And you know what you're going to do? You are going to follow my laws. You are going to do the things that you are supposed to do. How do we change? Here's how we change. We just do what God says. That's it. We get into the Word of God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And then we say, I'm in. I don't know, we have a church really of a lot of people, except for our children coming up now. We were all saved a little bit later on in life. And so we know what it's like, many of us, to live that kind of life. And we look at that life and say, that was not a good life. And now we say, I have something better. Why? Because I'm wonderful? Because I'm... No, because we simply said, Lord, I'm gonna follow what you say. God changes us when we do what his word says. Say, how do I know I'm changed? Let me ask you this question. Are you dedicated and committed to obeying God's word? If you don't, then you're not changed. God changes us by his truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God changes us. And then God conserves us in verse 29. He goes, I will also save you from all your uncleanliness. You know what God says? I'm going to cleanse you from the past. I'm going to change you in the future. And I'm going to protect you. I'm going to change you in the present. And I'm going to protect you in the future. I'm going to save you from all that stuff. You know what a good thing about being a Christian is? I miss a lot of nonsense. I don't like drama, okay? Now, I know, around our house, you have 7 kids, 5,000 grandkids, and friends of my kid. So there's always people in our house, but I don't like drama. I don't like self-inflicted pain. I don't like problems. Now, problems are a part of life, but not the problems we bring on ourselves. I'd rather avoid those. You know what they say, you can learn from your mistakes. I prefer to learn from other people's mistakes. Okay, I don't want to make my own mistakes. You know what God says? If you follow me, there are a lot of pitfalls in life out there that you can avoid. You don't have to have all that. There's a roadblock that would come because if you live a certain way, it's going to bring that. But if you follow me, I'll save you from all your... You don't have to do that anymore. That's not a part of who you are. And you'll go around that and you'll miss the drama. Years ago, we were on vacation and we were driving on the little freeway from Santa Cruz into the 101 freeway. And you have to kind of, I forget the number, you kind of go, it's kind of squiggly. And that was when the kids had first told us about Waze. You know what Waze is? Waze is that, it's that GPS thing, but it tells you how to avoid. And there was an accident. And I mean, we're literally in the mountains and Waze said, get off the road here. Like, and it's like, there's no other freeways. We got off on this little side road. We're going all over the mountain. And then we went for like 2 miles and it put us right back on the freeway. Literally, Brother Machado, it put us back on the freeway about 20 feet ahead of where an accident was blocking the freeway. I avoided all the drama. By the way, there's nothing worse than sitting in traffic, especially when you've been driving for 15 hours or 10 hours on vacation. It's like all of a sudden you forget you know Jesus, you forget you love your family, and you say things that you wish God wouldn't even hear. Okay, and here we are. It's like, hey, look it. That was a hassle getting off the road, but look it. That was, they were going to be there for an hour and a half, and we just like, mwah, see you later. We avoided the drama. You know what the Bible is? It's kind of a ways for life, okay? It's not user-friendly, but you can avoid drama that you would have went through had you not had direction to say, don't go there. God takes care of that. He conserves us. And then lastly, God channels to us. You look at verse 29 and 30 on, God is explaining the blessings that are going to come to them in the future now that they are back in their relationship with God. And I know that's talking about the future kingdom, which I won't get into right now. But let me just say, that is the principle of Scripture. If you serve God and we obey him, God blesses us. God freely gives to us. And if God is offering something, I want it. I want it. God offers his blessing. In Ezekiel, just a couple chapters before, he gives us this verse. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Not just a little, not sprinkle. Not like we get the rain here. We don't get much rain. I'm talking about there's a shower. God says, I am going to give them my blessing. How do we get all of this from God? You know how we get this? We get this when we know Jesus Christ. There's a hymn we sing, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. It says, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. I have light in my soul for long what I had sought since Jesus came into my life. Last verse says, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. My sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my... What about you? I mean, sometimes we sing these songs in the hymn book, The fact of the matter is, in some of them, if we were honest, we'd have to be quiet. If we had to sing those and they had to actually be true in our life, we may not sing as many of them as we should. God says you can be different. God says you must be willing to be different. Let me end with this. That verse I read about showers of blessing, there's a hymn written about that. I look at our psalm book, there's four hymns, but there was a fifth one that was taken out that says this. There shall be showers of blessing if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing if we let God have his way. Let me ask you a question. What is there different in your life since you met Jesus Christ? Is your life better? It ought to be. I can look back to my life, and from that time I dedicated myself to Jesus Christ, it has been way better. Has it been perfect? No. I mean, you never have issues? I do have issues. But you know what? God's done some good things. And God wants to do that in your life. God wants us to be different. Let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.